This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
After the Everest avalanche, we'll talk to a famous mountaineer about the economics and training of his Sherpa colleagues. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the global perspective on business and economics. President Obama travels to Japan on the first leg of his Asia tour that will also include South Korea, Malaysia, and the Philippines. It'll be the president's first trip there since Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe started his overhaul of the Japanese economy after two decades of stagnation. As Marketplace's Sabri Benishore reports, the Abenomics on display is still very much a work in progress.
One of Japan's most obvious problems for the past couple decades has been deflation. That's falling prices. It's poison for economic growth. Under Abe, the Bank of Japan printed money and slashed interest rates, and it started working almost immediately.
The price level has been rising now for about a year.
Arthur Alexander is an adjunct professor at Georgetown. This is a big deal. Rising prices have the potential to drive up wages and consumer spending. So on that front, so far, so good. But
the verdict on Abenomics will depend on whether or not they do the structural reforms.
Anil Keshep teaches at the Booth School of Business. The structural reforms, those are the big picture things.
There's all kinds of frictions that make Japan an unappealing place to do business.
Starting a business, getting hired full time, even finding childcare is hard in Japan. And some parts of Japan's economy, especially agriculture, are highly subsidized and unproductive. So in some ways, Japan has changed a lot in a year. The question is, will it keep changing? I'm Sabri Benishore for Marketplace.
Now let's do the numbers. The FT 100 in London is up about 1.1% at the moment. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are up, but not resolutely so. The 10-year bond yield is up at 2.71%. The euro is up to $1.3813. There's word this morning that Novartis of Switzerland is buying the cancer drug part of GlaxoSmithKline for more than $14 billion. At the same time, Novartis is selling its vaccines unit for $5.25 billion. Novartis and Glaxo are also planning to bring together their over-the-counter medicine business to be managed by Glaxo. Government officials in Nepal today are meeting with Sherpa mountain guides in a bid to avert a strike. Sherpas are considering boycotting the rest of the Mount Everest climbing season after at least 13 people died in an avalanche on the mountain last week. Sherpa mountaineers believe insurance and financial aid for families of victims is inadequate. The minimum insurance policy for the guides pays a death benefit of about $10,000, and the Nepalese government has announced a special payment of $415 to families in the wake of the tragedy. Average per capita income in Nepal is about $645 a year. Veteran mountaineer Conrad Anker has climbed to the top of Everest three times. In 2003, he helped set up a nonprofit training facility in Nepal so that Sherpas could get access to state-of-the-art safety techniques. He joins us from Bozeman, Montana. Conrad, good morning.
Thank you for having me on your show.
You're just looking at the rate card for hiring Sherpas. What's the pay? Give me a sense of it.
Well, for a Sherpa working above base camp, which is where the danger begins, their base salary is about $2,000. And then they earn more money through a bonus system where they are paid to carry the loads to various camps. And if they make the summit, it's $250 as a first-time summiter, and every time thereafter it's a $500 bonus for the summit. So a good Sherpa can earn between $4,000 to $6,000 in one season, but it is extremely dangerous work.
Yeah, $46,000 by Western standards is not a lot of money. Now, the Khumbu Climbing Center, which you were involved in since the beginning, helps to teach what, Conrad?
Vocational skills for the high-altitude workers of Nepal. So if you and I were to go to the Himalayas, we would climb a bunch extensively here in the United States, a trip to Alaska, and we would go through these rites of passage before you came to Everest. And for a lot of the people here, by default living there and by economic circumstance, they then go on the mountain, and they don't have the technical skills that we do.
You also at the center try to talk about new climbing technology so that the people who are in fact doing that climbing more often than anyone else are up to speed?
Climbing techniques are continually evolving. Improvements in glacier travel technique, what we learn about loads that climbing gear can use, the standardized helicopter communications, a lot of these things that if we can share, everyone benefits. But what happened on Friday was an ice avalanche in the ice fall, and it could have happened to anyone. And there would just happen to be Sherpas in the ice fall at that time, which is the odds are higher because there's more of them doing more trips through the ice fall than the Western clients.
You've spent a lot of time, Conrad, with Sherpa people. Those who climb professionally do so during the season. But give me a sense of the economics there out of season. What do people do? Agriculture?
Nepal, by and large, is probably 80% subsistence agriculture or small-scale agriculture. So there's and the Sherpas are one group of people that are a small minority within Nepal. So many of them, the ones that work on Everest, they have money to invest in tea houses, lodges. They have work in the off-season, and they realize the danger of it. But also, to the same measure, they enjoy getting up there. They're like climbers like you and I would be if we were on a climb. We'd be looking forward to the camaraderie and the adventure and the challenge of it. So it's a pretty interesting dynamic.
Conrad Anker, along with his wife Jennifer Low Anker, established the Khumbu Climbing Center in Nepal. Conrad, thank you very much.
Thank you, David.
In 1999, Conrad located the remains on Everest of the 1920s climber George Mallory. Later in 1999, Anker was struck by an avalanche that killed his best friend, Alex Low. The climbing center was set up in memory of Alex. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.